Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When our Lord prayed out loud, it was always for the benefit of the disciples who heard him and who would record it. And so he indicates that the wise and the learned don't get it, that the deeper mysteries are revealed to the little ones. Hidden these things about the reality of the life of grace and the life he affords those who follow him. And this course is understandable since God resists the proud, since the proud cannot cooperate with grace because they don't believe they need it. Then eventually God punishes by withdrawing grace completely. And without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So one will be consigned to his own pride. It's not like God abandons the possibility of salvation, but it's more like they're not interested, so God no longer affords the grace. And it's ultimately what the soul wants. And so we consider that the humble, the meek, are the ones that have the revelations of these hidden things to them. And that's why our Lord says to them to be meek and humble of heart as he is. So what we're dealing with here is the reality of the spiritual life itself in many ways. So many people get locked into the worldly interpretation of such things because too many people are caught up in the world. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. So people only think about hard work and hard labor. But it's actually tied to the reality of the spiritual life. It can be interpreted certainly in that way, the aforementioned, but perhaps it ought to be interpreted in this way as well. The fact that so many Catholics are not interested in any way, shape, or form in developing their spiritual lives. And as I've told you before, a good warning sign that you've been abandoned by God is that your Catholic faith has not changed in the last 5 or 10 years. That your practice, that your devotion, your piety, it's all the same for the past 5, 10, 15. If it's been 20 years, then you really need to start reevaluating things. No development, no change. The spiritual life is like a ladder, and you go up the ladder one rung at a time. There must be development. If there's no development, it's not that God isn't trying to bring you to himself. It's that you're not trying to bring you to God himself. And so therefore, those who are the little ones, those who are humble, recognize the absolute need for grace, and they endeavor to get it. Consider the scribes and the Pharisees and chief priests. They couldn't hear a word our Lord said because they were blocked by their own pride. Christ was not what they wanted him to be. He disappointed them. He was a fool, they thought. He was an unlettered man from Nazareth. Even though they knew his words were profound and were indeed beyond reckoning without his grace, they would only see them as a threat because of their pride. And so many Catholics see Christ as a threat because of their pride. That's why they always keep their distance from him. They go to Mass perhaps once a week. There's no prayer. There's no devotion. There's no contemplation. It's just, I go to Mass once a week and therefore I'm going to heaven. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Show me faith without works, St. James said, and I'll show you a faith that is dead. And so therefore, Catholics who coast through the Catholic faith are indeed prideful. And because of their pride, they cannot discover the hidden things. That's why Catholics who are coasting through their faith, who are prideful, are of the 70% that do not even believe in the real presence. And they don't think they have to. And they don't think it's important. Because they're motivated by pride. Only what they need to know is important. Only what they do know is important. So many Catholics have never had even an ounce of increase in their knowledge of the faith since they left a Catholic high school or a Catholic grade school. And they actually believe that this is sufficient. They're part of the foolish ones who saw confirmation as graduation from the Catholic faith, so you never have to do anything ever again. But only pride would lead you to that kind of conclusion, because if you were humble, you would indeed know that Christ is the only one who can help. Therefore, you would scour the Gospels to know every word our Lord said, because you know only He can save you. And He absolutely wants to save you. And if you're humble, you will hold on to every word He says. But if you're prideful, what He says is kind of nice, it applies here, but I'm not really interested. So that's how you know if your spiritual life has not developed in the last 5 or 10 or 15 years, then you are of the prideful and God is resisting you. And therefore you need to reevaluate your disposition. Because you'll notice Catholics who are that prideful always have an easier time of it when it comes to their faith, because they're not doing anything with it. There's no challenge to their faith because they're the first to abandon it when there's opposition. They're the first to not speak about Christ when they're with a group of people who won't speak about Christ. They're the first to attack the Catholic Church or the priesthood when they're a group of people who want to attack the Catholic Church and the priesthood. Ostensibly, their lives seem easier, but in reality, they're not, because they're weeds swaying in the wind, and it eventually takes its toll when you're constantly trying to be what everybody wants you to be, and you lose your own sense of identity because of it. And then your locus is exterior instead of interior, in the sense that if you're devoted to God, you know you're who you are, you're created in His image and likeness, and by virtue of baptism, becoming a temple of the Holy Spirit, God is the center of our existence. He is being itself, which holds us in being. But if you have lost your connection to our Lord, then all you do is define yourself by what other people think, and you're working so tirelessly to satisfy people, to manage other people's emotions, to make sure everybody's feeling good. And then you wonder why you're exhausted and tired. Because there's no way this can be done. You've made yourself Christ to others as though you could make life better for them, and typically the only thing you're doing is confirming them in their sin and condoning and tolerating their sin because you're too afraid to say anything to them, to the contrary, because they may not like you. That kind of tired labor has no place of rest. And the worst thing about it is once those kinds of Catholics end up in the fiery pits of hell, and you say, oh, Father, that's so judgmental. No, one can judge actions, not souls. And one can repeat what Christ has said, or His apostles, show me faith without works, I'll show you a faith that is dead. And since our Lord is very clear that those who produce no fruit, who are attached to Him as the vine and we the branches, those who produce no fruit will be torn off, cut off, and cast into the fire. Our Lord says those Catholics who produce no fruit are going to hell, because He wants nothing to do with them. Because they were the ones that were not cooperating with grace, and it's their pride that will send them. Nobody goes to hell by accident. Only the prideful go there because they don't need to say they're sorry. They don't need to be contrite. They don't need to abstain from sin. They don't need to repent. And they certainly believe they don't need God. And they keep God at a distance. He's supposed to be there when they want Him. But otherwise, He should stay out of the way, especially when they're embracing sin or tolerating the sin of others. That's the first moment they'll abandon God and say, well, God's okay that you're a sodomite. God's okay that you're a fornicator. God's okay that you're a thief. God's okay that you are a murderer. He loves you no matter what you do. Which, of course, is total balderdash. Yes, He loves you, but He hates the sin. And therefore, His justice mandates the sin will be dealt with, especially when there's no contrition. Juxtapose that with those who are truly following Christ, the little ones. Too many people today want to believe it always means children. No, it means anyone who is humble. They are the little ones. And therefore God reveals the hidden mysteries, the deeper things, to the humble ones. That's why the prideful in the world, who always think they know what's going on, never really know what's going on. And the humble often do, because they're detached from the world and attached to God, and therefore God, by His grace, gives them the insights to see what's really going on in the world. But if they are, the little ones are humble, they are working and striving for the things of God, they place God first, and they subject everything else to God, which really takes an effort. Most Catholics, because they do not cooperate with grace, because they don't want to do this, most Catholics find it impossible to put God first. But the thing is, it's because they're usually too comfortable with the world, and they're not asking for the grace to put God first. And they're not trying to put God first by virtue of applying the grace. They're just saying, it's hard to put God first, but God understands. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't, because He knows who He is. And anything that is in competition with Him, remember, God suffers no rivals, as Scripture says. Anything in competition with Him is a false god. He ends up destroying it and those who follow the false gods. So it takes real work to be one of the little ones, to try and strive to make spiritual progress. And to know if you are one of those humble ones, you can look back and you can see where your faith has progressed. Where you've changed in the last 5 years, you've made progress, even if it's small. You know the way you're a Catholic now was different than it was 5 years ago, different than it was 10 years ago, different than it was 20 years ago. If your faith is exactly the same, you are not cooperating with grace, because again, the spiritual life, the interior life, the life of getting to heaven for your soul, the feeding of your soul with the necessary graces and the necessary enlightenment, it's all part of the rungs of the ladder of divine ascent, as St. John Climacus called it. And we should be going up one rung at a time according to the time and plan of God, but only if we cooperate with God's grace, otherwise we usually stay at the first level. And sometimes just fall right off the ladder anyway, and run away from the ladder. You're making no spiritual progress, you're not cooperating with grace, and it usually means you don't want to cooperate with grace because you're really not interested. You're one of those punch-the-clock Catholics who, yeah, I'm supposed to go to Mass on Sunday, so I go to Mass on Sunday, and then boom, God has no other effect or influence in your life. You never do anything to bring others to Christ. You never do anything to bring yourself closer to Christ. You never avail yourselves of opportunities to increase your knowledge of the faith, to increase your knowledge of Scripture, to increase your knowledge of anything. All you do is work for the bread of the world, which in the end will bring you nothing. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, in the end to lose his soul? And so many Catholics think that it has to be this way, that you have to put the world first and to strive and struggle to find a place for God. No, that's absolutely incorrect. And the great saints have showed us that is incorrect. The struggle is ultimately against concupiscence, and once you've cooperated with the grace to conquer concupiscence, again by the grace, then everything is ordered. Then God does come first. And there's never any neglect of worldly responsibility in any way, shape, or form, because it is rightly married. The natural order is married to the supernatural order. And therefore, what's happening is, if you're a Catholic living his faith well as a layman, you're dragging, as it were, the supernatural into your natural life, and you are touching everything that you go into with the supernatural grace, because you are bringing Christ with you, and you are radiating grace by virtue of the fact that you're in a state of sanctifying grace because you've been avoiding sin, and you have that in mind as your mission, to let the world know Christ through you. Your life points to Christ when you're doing it right. Your life points to yourself when you're doing it wrong. And yes, indeed, our Lord is indicating that it takes effort. But notice He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The burden of the worldlings, the burden of the Catholic who's betrayed Christ for the world, who tries to manage everybody else's emotions, who tries to make everybody feel good, who is a weed swaying in the wind, who compromises on Christ every opportunity he or she gets in order to be accepted by the crowd. They're exhausted, and they're under a heavy burden, the heavy burden of sin, slaves to sin, as the Collect reminded, we once were. Until we were liberated by Christ. But we can become slaves to sin whenever we want to by virtue of crawling under the burden again. But that does not have to be done. No, the yoke and the burden. They're easy. They're light. Our Lord says so, but it does mean there must be effort in your Catholic life. There must be a desire to climb up to the next rung of the ladder. And that's what praying for grace is all about. And in particular, recognizing your predominant fault, combating it, and then building up a virtue that's opposed to your predominant fault in order to make progress to get to the next rung. And you only make progress if God brings you up to the next rung. Because the prideful always want to jump up 2, 3, 4, 5 rungs. And God will indeed slap you back down when you do that. Now it has to be done according to His divine wisdom. But so many Catholics don't want to defer to His divine wisdom. So many Catholics are filled with pride. So many Catholics, again, keep Him at a distance and make up their own rules and pretend like their rules apply to Him because they won't read Scripture. They won't read the Catechism. They won't pay any attention to divine revelation. And that's cleric and layman alike. No, ours is to be Christocentric. Ours is to be humble before God. Ours is to be aware of what's going on in the world, but working first to develop our interior life, our life of prayer, our life of awareness of God, our life of cooperating with grace, in other words, a life of mission that the laymen have in particular of marrying the supernatural to the natural, of dragging the supernatural back to the, or dragging the natural up to the supernatural, of dragging the supernatural by virtue of our own concupiscence into the natural order. And it's a real balance if it's being done, and it also is a real adventure if it's being done. But otherwise you're just a slave to the eddies and currents of the world, and you're at everybody else's beck and call with no sense of direction or purpose. But if you're working for Christ, you're working for the top dog, and there is no one else above Him. And there's something about the reality of even if you're in the lowest position in your workplace, you know it's where Christ wants you. And therefore you have a real sense of wanting to accomplish the mission of salvation where Christ has placed you. You're not constantly moving, you're not constantly trying to find another way. You're actually content with where Christ has placed you. And then you endeavor to flourish in the mission that Christ has given you, the salvation of souls. And you discover the burden of sin and the burden of worldliness and the burden of keeping God at bay and the burden of becoming a slave to passion. It's just that, a heavy, tiresome burden that you collapse under versus what our Lord affords you, a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light. There is an effort, but He will give you consolations. That's when you learn that the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because it gives you true spiritual consolations that you can perceive, that actually tell you you're on the right path and affirm your cooperation with His grace. Indeed, an adventurous and profound life, and a life of great joy if you're living for Christ, but a life of sourness, a life of sadness, a life of quiet desperation, a life of pretending like everything is good with false smiles, false happiness, entertainments, and false joy, because the interior desperation would overwhelm if that outside noise was not there for those souls who have abandoned Christ, even though they still call themselves Catholic, for those souls who have put the world, others, and especially themselves above Christ. They live a very tragic life in the end, and it'll be even more tragic if they do not repent, because when they stand for the judgment seat of Christ, they will hear those awful, awful words that will reflect in their hearts, because they'll know it's true by the way they live their lives. They will hear the Christ say to them, "I do not know you." Horrible words to hear. Horrible words that don't need to be heard. If only humility would override in that kind of Catholic and all Catholics, and they would recognize that the development of the interior life comes first, and then everything else falls into place according to the mind and plan of the divine wisdom, providence, and the disposition of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.